irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that's designed to help you move from where you are to where you want to be, a show that's kind of packed with people that are doing the same things that we can do, but they're doing it in the marketplace. They stop by to tell us how they did it and ask that proverbial question, how did you get here? Well, I am here today. And as you know, my girl Jeannie, Kitty of the City, could not be with me today. And I miss her dearly, but she's on another assignment. And I do respect assignments. Now, let's get started. We've been talking about the principle faith. And I've gotten a lot of phone calls and text messages and just general conversations on how can you have so much faith and see all of the atrocities that's going on. And the only answer that I can say about that is I have to believe. I have to believe that the God that I serve, I call him Daddy because he's so personal. I've made that relationship very personal with me. I have to believe that he's still God. And yes, I don't understand everything that's going on, and I'm not going to try to give an answer to everything that I see. But I have to go for what I know. And what I know is that without faith, for me, I can't move. And it's a type of currency. You've heard me say that before. Faith, you know, in the kingdom, faith is your currency. And it is. See, here in this world, this life, we have to have money, right? And there's a scripture, I think it's Ecclesiastes 10 and 19, that says, money answereth all things. And it is true. But along with that, I do know that faith opens doors that oftentimes money can't. So I won't belabor here. We're going to finish up. We're going to finish up with this series. The remainder of this month will be the faith series, and we'll go into something different for the month of November. But what I want you to remember, your takeaway for this particular principle in faith, is that faith is believing that what you do not see with hope will become a reality. And I'll say that once again. Faith, believing what you do not see with hope will become a reality. So, there's a thing that you have to do in order for your faith to work. And that is, you have to work your faith. Now, when you're working your faith, you literally become the work. And here's what I mean. I had faith when I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, after coming to Los Angeles, California, year after year to celebrate my birthday. I had faith that one day I would be able to move here. Now, that was for me, a pretty big thing. Because I've learned that in order for me to do something, first, I have to pray. Second, I have to believe and receive it right then, even though I don't see it. And then thirdly, I have to kind of put my faith where my work is. No matter how many times or how long I prayed about it and fasted for it, if I did not put pen to paper, if I did not physically get up and do something to get what I believed God for, I wouldn't have gotten it. Now, the obstacles, they're going to come. So you got to be ready for it. I would liken anyone who is in a position or in a situation right now where it looks like what you believe for, what you prayed for, what you ask your girlfriends to stand with you for, it looks like it's just not going to happen. I would liken you to roll up your sleeves and put the work in. Put your blinders on. Gear up, because it just might be a bumpy ride. No matter what it looks like, no matter how many times you've tried and tried again and you tried some more and maybe you didn't get the result, keep trying, because that is what works your faith. You're trying, you're doing, you're becoming. But whatever you do, when you know that what you are believing for is one, where God would have you or what he would have you to believe for, two, you believe in yourself, and three, see it as already done, then you're ready to walk into that, which will take faith, but you're becoming the work, and you're not going to stop until you accomplish your goal. That, my friend, is faith, and that's putting work to what you believe, what you want to see, and what you already receive, even though you can't see it just yet. We have a guest that will be coming on in just a minute or two who is doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing, unapologetic. She hails from a background in therapy. And if you know anything about therapists, boy, they have their work cut out for them. She motivates, she inspires, she goes back and helps the next generation, and then she's putting action to what she believes. She's an author, and again, she's fastly being recognized as someone that you better be paying attention to. Her name is Ms. Joa McNally. Hello, are you there?
Hi, Dr. Tongi, I'm here. Thank you very much.
Thank you so, so very much for joining us today. It is such an honor. When I was reading your bio, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh my God, this woman has done, she has done so much. I'm going to ask you the question. How did you get here? How did you get from where you were to where you are now, and you're changing lives of people who really who want to be changed? How did you get here?
Wow. First of all, I just want to thank you so much for having me on. The honor is really all mine. And that's the magic question, right? We all want to know, how did we get here? Yeah. To be honest with you, obedience. That's what I could tell you, obedience. I I've been listening to your broadcast, and you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about faith and actually doing the work. I tell people all the time, I didn't aspire to be an author. This is not something that I've always thought about or, you know, dreamed about becoming. I was already set in my career, as you introduced me, as a therapist, and I was loving what I did. as a substance abuse counselor and a behavioral therapist. Mm-hmm. And I came home one day and I heard the voice of the Lord really prompting me to write these books concerning Colin Kaepernick to educate children and bring awareness to police brutality and racial injustice. Mm-hmm. Now, you can imagine I've never written anything before these two books. I didn't know the process. I didn't know who was going to publish it. I didn't know who was going to illustrate the work. I just knew that this was being set before me, and I just had this feeling. And curiosity is the other part, too, that, you know, led me to ask the necessary questions. Why was this being given to me, and what am I supposed to do with it? Because I think that you have to have that level of understanding and inquiry. Mm-hmm. You know, there are 7 billion people on this earth. Why would this book come to me exactly? And the more that I followed that intuition, the more that God was laying into my heart saying that he trusted me with what I was getting ready to do as far as impacting the next generation and teaching them things that, you know, educational systems don't. Mm-hmm. So I really just followed faith, obedience, and a lot of sacrifice led me to this point.
I see. I like the way you said faith, obedience, and sacrifice, because oftentimes we miss those parameters with obedience, and that is so, so important. Being where you were comfortable. I mean, you were just kind of going through life and having fun, right? Enjoying what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. What has been some of the challenges that you were faced with, or maybe presently faced with, going back to tell someone, listen, you know, you gotta go for what you know, or whatever it is that you tell those young people daily. What have been some of those challenges that you've incurred?
Well, you touched right on it, comfortability. Mm. Just to give you some background information, apart from what I was doing as a career in therapy, a lot of people don't know, I was living in a luxury condo in Soho, New York. Mm. I mean, the dream, literally living the dream, being 25 and being in that position. It was, you know, my apartment came with, you know, every whistle and bell you can possibly think of, you know, 24-hour concierge, a pool, a basketball court, all kinds of things that, you know, people really dream about. Uh-huh. So when I say living the life, having fun, being comfortable, that's what I knew, that's what I loved, that's what I wanted to do. And so following this dream cost me a lot. Mm-hmm. Following this, the vision that God laid upon me, it cost me something. See, a lot of people don't think about this. When you're called to something, when you're purposed to do something, it's not always going to be roses and you know, butterflies. Right. It's going to cost you something. And the greater your purpose, the greater your battles. Hmm. So not only did I have to give up my condo, God spoke to me very clearly that I was going to only be there for 1 year. And I'm telling you, I was there for 1 year to the day. Asked me to give up my condo and move back home with my mom. And again, just to give you some background information, I haven't lived with my mother or anyone else for that matter since I was 17 years old. Wow. So here I was at 27, back with my mom, and I had accepted a job offer with Motivational Coaches of United States, MCUSA, in Florida. And I did the interview. I accepted the position. They knew that I was relocating and coming down to do the trainings and things like that. And it totally fell through. So I moved with a job in mind, because these books were going to be my side hustle. Mm-hmm. You know, man makes plans, God laughs.
Oh, yes.
Because this was going to be my side hustle. I was still going to do what I was comfortable doing, still going to follow in my career, and then, you know, just do this as side work. And the job completely fell through. My point of contact, she ended up quitting. She didn't put my name in the system. So it was a mess. So I found myself moving from New York to Florida, uncomfortable, without a job, unemployed, and have been now for about 2 years. But then I began to see what God was doing with me. I started having to fly here, there, across the country, doing reading workshops, doing motivational speaking, doing all kinds of things, and things that I wouldn't have been able to do if I was still working a 9-to-5 mm-hmm. and, you know, being comfortable, doing what I know. So he literally led me to deep waters in a place that is unknown, in the place of, that's where the fear is, right? That's where your feet might fall. Mm-hmm. I love that song, Oceans, mm-hmm. by United Hillsong, mm-hmm. because when you're out in the deep, you've never been there before. You don't know how this goes. You know, you're scared. You're nervous. You don't have the resources. You don't have the connections. You don't have the allies, all the stuff that you would need. But that's in the place where character is built. I love Romans 5, verse 3-5 for that reason. And this literally has been my anchor and what keeps me grounded and keeps me going and keeps me energized. It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. So part of the picture is the struggle, and that's where legends are made, is in the struggle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you say that so profoundly. I too am aware of those sufferings and how uncomfortable it is. And you still got to show up, you know? Have you experienced, when you are speaking young people about some of the inequalities that, you know, are going on, you know, today, have you experienced, I guess, people thinking that there's just no hope? And if you have, how do you combat that with what you're offering?
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear the last part. Okay. Do I encounter people who have no what?
Have no hope. If you're going back and you're speaking to young people, yes, as you're going back.
I actually encounter the opposite. I visit a lot of neighborhoods that people would probably not go to, or underserved communities. I have a heart for children that are living in those kind of circumstances. Mm-hmm. And what really touches me and moves me the most, even in all the struggles, even in all the difficulties, the financial lack, because you will meet that if you're doing purpose. It always reminds me of why this work is necessary and so important. When children tell me that this is the book that they've been waiting for, or, you know, they're living in neighborhoods where they hear gunshots, they see the police brutality, they're victims of it, or, you know, they have family members who are victims of it, and they tell me that this book validates their experience. It validates their existence. It validates their importance as Black people. And so a lot of this energizes me to do the work, because that book serves as the hope that they might have otherwise not had.
Right.
So, you know, that in itself really, really, really reminds me my why, and reminds me why I have to keep going against Absolutely. All the odds.
Absolutely. Now, the book you're referring to is The Hero. Is that correct? Or is it B for Brotherhood?
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Both, because there's a sequel.
Okay.
So The Hero in the Helmet, Colin Kaepernick, is the beginning story. And then B is for Brotherhood is the back end of the story, I would say.
Oh, wow. So you're writing, I'm going to rewind just a little bit here. You're being called to this purpose, and, you know, people have formed their own opinions about what's going on. How mm-hmm. did you sit to even compartmentalize this task? I mean, this is huge, you know, and everyone is not waving the banner for him. How did you say, okay, yes, we know that, you know, of course, all of your steps were ordered of God, but tell us how it started.
So I was watching a special. I remember the day that I came home and the idea really came to me. I came home and Colin Kaepernick was in the news, and it's exactly what you were saying. There are, you know, myriad of responses and people who, you know, are averse to his movement in the NFL, and then continually just throw dirt in his name and try to really not pay attention to what he's doing. So what America is really good at, and this is a trend that I noticed that really also inspired me to write these books, is that educational systems and society as a whole do not do a good job recognizing Black historical people doing significant things until they die. Mm-hmm. And then they want to commemorate them with a day or commemorate their existence by calling them American heroes. But as long as they're actively doing the work, they're ostracized and they're not very well liked. And you can have your pick, Martin Luther King, Tommy Smith, Muhammad Ali, people who came before Colin Kaepernick. So this is not a first time, you know, thing. This is really a trend, a sad one. Mm-hmm. So I said to myself, I'm going to break the mold and I'm going to change the way that educational systems teach Black history. Because the truth is, Black history is not relegated to 28 days in February. Mm-hmm. And also, our children are learning about the same names recycled over and over. So not that there's anything wrong with that, or that there's, you know, we need to learn about those leaders. But at the same time, there are people who are actively doing the work now. Colin Kaepernick is doing the work now. So why not give us roses that he can smell while he's living?
Absolutely.
And so my books serve as that, for roses for him, to motivate him, to encourage him, to let him know that we have people are, you know, behind him. Despite the fact that, you know, people would try to reduce his message to the flag, which he has spoken about countless times and says it's not disrespect to military veterans, but it is, again, shining a light on police brutality and racial injustice. So rather than having society, not recognize his achievements, I said to myself, I'm going to do it while he's alive, and also it's going to be history while it's happening, because that's also never been done before as well.
Right.
While people can connect to him, while people can relate to him, while children know his name, know who he is, they should be knowing about what he's doing as it's being done. So, you know, and then also it's about accountability. You know, we have to hold people, those people, accountable for the things that they say and they do. And the only way that you can do that is you have to know who they are. We cannot allow them to continue rewriting history and then taking the credit for it. So we have to be the ones that narrate our stories. And we have to be, like I said, validating the Black experience and the Black existence for our Black and brown children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I can feel your passion, and it just, I've got goosebumps over here, and I love it. I thank you so much for your courage. B for Brotherhood, a follow-up to your very first book. How did you get there, and what's the purpose now?
So B is for Brotherhood came along because in 2016, so Colin Kaepernick started his movement in 2016, and he's been blackballed out of the NFL, still is not playing till this day for taking a knee. Mm-hmm. In the NFL. And so basically their purpose or their intention was to quiet him. And if we don't have you playing on the field, then you can't continue to demonstrate. But what they miscalculated is that there are some brothers, and that's why I even named it B is for Brotherhood. There are some brothers who weren't willing to just stay quiet and who weren't willing to just sweep the issue under the rug and silence the movement. You have brothers like Eric Reed, Kenny Stills, Albert Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, the Bennett brothers, who, despite what the NFL was doing and them even issuing contracts about fining players who were kneeling, were still kneeling amid the rule that, you know, didn't allow them to do so. Mm-hmm. So they stood tall and they stood in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. So I thought that they should be included in history as well. And then also when Nike endorsed Colin Kaepernick for their 30-year campaign, mm-hmm. With him as the face of Nike, that was a huge deal.
Yes.
And then you saw the reactions of people who disagreed. People were burning their Nike gear and their Nike apparel,
yeah.
In protest of what Nike had done. And then you had things like Starbucks, you know, Black men getting arrested just for doing normal activities, sitting in their homes, you know, sitting in Starbucks, you know, having a barbecue in their neighborhood. You guys are familiar with Barbecue Becky.
Oh, yes.
Which she's actually in my book as well. And then you had H&M with their racist stunt with the coolest monkey in the jungle of the black boy with the sweatshirt. And so racism in fashion, that's included in my books as well. And so Beats for Brotherhood came about as a result of all these circumstances. And I wanted to put it in a book that can no longer be denied. Mm-hmm. And also, if we got to start young. If these children know this stuff at a young age, they build that self-esteem, they build that awareness, they become critical consumers of media. So they're just not eating up anything that they see and hear in the media, but they're able to question it and thoughtfully, you know, question it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I applaud you for this. Thank you. Seriously, thank you so, so very
thank
much.
You.
The courage and the boldness that you represent. I mean, it's just nothing short of God being with you. And that's to be celebrated. So what is next? Now that you've gotten the word out and you're going back and you're inspiring and you're motivating, what change or changes, just a few, that you want to see happen?
So on top of the books that I've produced, The Hero in the Helmet, Colin Kaepernick, and Beats for Brotherhood, I recently put out a national curriculum to assist the readings. So the first one that I produced is at the third and fourth grade level currently, because that's just the biggest group that I deal with. But my goal is to create curriculum at every grade level, starting from daycare all the way up to the collegiate level and even for special needs. I think that this is a book, and not because it's my book, I think that this is something that needs to be studied all over the country in every educational center that there is. We need to be having these conversations, children, adults alike. And that's my thing as well. People ask me all the time, oh, these are just children's books. And I tell them, not really. They are children's books, but they're really a book for everyone. There's a quote by Madeline Lingle that says, you have to write the book that wants to be written. And if the book will be too difficult for adults, then you write it for children. Hmm. Racism is a topic that seems to be very difficult for adults to be having, especially amongst black and white adults. And so I put it in a children's book, one, because it's friendly or the tone is more inviting. The books are very colorful. And along with the imagery, it reinforces the content so that it's an icebreaker or conversation starter. So what's next is really trying to get them in every educational center that there is. I'm going to share a very exclusive update with you, Dr. Tongi. I haven't said that to anyone else, but I feel led to say it.
Thank you.
Is that I'm starting right now a card game that is going to reinforce blackness and what it is and what it means in America and why it was important, it has been important, will continue to be important. So definitely look out for that.
Absolutely. Man, I feel like a little kid in a candy store and I've got all these goodies here. How can the listeners and the viewers, how can they stay interactive with you? How can they order your books and even have you as a keynote speaker to something that they've got going? How can they do this?
Absolutely. So you want to go to my website, www.joamcnally.com. That's J-O-A-M-A-C, N as in Nancy, A-L-I-E.com. There's a contact sheet there. If you are looking to book me for speakings or assembly readings or school readings and workshops of things of that nature, there's a contact info there. You may also order my books through my website. They're also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but if you want them personalized, autographed copies, then I would direct you to my website to be able to do that so I can ship it directly to you. Also on Facebook, I'm Joa McNally. On Instagram, Joa.McNally. And on Twitter, I'm Joa the author.
Wow. You know, you really are the epitome of the scripture, to whom much is given, much is required.
Wow.
And you, my God, lady.
Wow.
You have.
Wow.
And you're just getting started. And that's the beautiful thing about life. You know, we get to be creators because our daddy is a creator. And
you're using the
principles that he has already given to us. You know, you're using those, and you're not just quoting scriptures, you're being the scripture, and you're using the key of faith to unlock every door that needs to be unlocked. And I am so, so very proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud for you.
Wow.
And I'm proud for this world. You know, I'm proud that they'll get to have a piece of history that you changed the trajectory of so many people. And I know this to be true because you're here on the Dr. Tanji Show.
And I'm so excited about it. Wow, Dr. Tanji, that's a mouthful. And I'm really trying to digest everything that you're saying and take it in, because, I mean, what you're saying is so powerful. And like I said, even before I came on and listening to you talk about the struggles, talking about faith and what it means to continue and endure and persevere. I mean, wow, you really spoke to my spirit, and you really, really blessed me today. Wow.
To God be the glory, Miss Joa. I am so excited. Thank you so much for sharing these pearls of wisdom, and thank you for being transparent, because people really need to know, they need to know that behind every story that you see, the glory is wonderful, but that story, that story is a life changer. And I'm grateful that you had enough sense, as my grandmama would say. You had enough sense to trust him. Is there anything for that little boy or little girl, or maybe the adult little boy and little girl that's there, that's waiting to do something right where they are? What would you say to that person or persons?
I would say that there's someone in the world, or there's even nations on the inside of you that is waiting for your gift, and that what's on the inside of you that God has given you specifically is going to change the lives of many people. If you'll have the courage and the wherewithal enough to step out in faith and do that thing that God is calling you to do, you will see just how many people have been waiting for you. And I know sometimes it seems like it's hard. You don't have the resources, you don't have this, and you don't have that. But trust and believe when I tell you that your gift will absolutely make room for you. It will absolutely make room for you. I have seen it. I am walking in this. I'm experiencing it right now. I am in rooms that people often ask, how did I get here? How did she get here? And I'm telling you that God will make the room for you. And if you don't have the resources, if you don't have what you need right now, I would implore you to use what's in your hand, which means that you might not have all the money in the world to do what you want to do, but there's something that you can do right now that can move you towards your goal. And every day you should be doing something in the direction of your goal, big or small. And you know, like Nike, just do it. Just do it.
I am clapping right here, lady, because you're talking about me saying a mouthful. Honey, I could just close the show right now. Thank you so, so very much for giving us something that you're not the creator of, which is time. And for you to be so generous with it, I pray that God will continuously do exceeding abundantly above anything that you've already asked or has not even entered into your heart, and that you'll live to tell about it, and you'll come back to the show and tell us about it. Thank you so
Amen.
Much. I love you so much, Joa. Thank you for being a part of
I love
of
you,
Dr.
Tanji. Thank you again. Thank you,
baby.
And bless you.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon.
Okay, we will.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Did you hear that? I mean, I'm going to go back and listen to this show, and I hope that is what you'll do. You'll take time to go back and listen to some of the shows that we've done, you can reach us, as you know, at Dr. Tanji Show on all three social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and of course, LA Talk Radio. And if you want to stay interactive, and I hope that you do, feel free to DM me or call us on the air, 323-203-0815. You know, tomorrow is a very sentimental day for me and for us here at the Dr. Tanji Show. We will be celebrating 1 year. And I'm excited about it. And I'm humbled. I'm truly humbled that God would allow me to be in this space. The objective here is nothing more than to make certain that you're being motivated, that you're inspired, that we're gingerly nudging you to assist you to be exactly where you're supposed to be, which is doing exactly what you were born to do. And it looks like we've got a caller. Let's see. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Tanji.
Hi, Dr. Tanji.
Hi, how are you? Who are we speaking with?
My name is Francis. I'm okay. I had a question.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, how do you continue to go on? How do you continue to have faith when it just seems like there's nothing right going on around you?
Oh, wow.
How do you push forward where it seems like everything is falling apart? Where you just can't see nothing going right.
Wow. Well,
Francis, I know I've listened to you in shows before, and you've had ups and downs, so I know, Dr. Tanji, I know you can, you can help me.
Well, first, thank you so very much for calling in. It is an honor to honestly have you call in and take time. Thank you so, so very much. And that's a very poignant question. How do you continue when what you see looks real? And it can be mind-boggling. But what I want you to honestly concentrate on is your faith. Now, we know what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We could quote that. We can quote it in our sleep. But what I've learned, Fran, is it goes back for me, my relationship with my Creator, not just religion, because we're not religious people here at the Dr. Tanji Show. These are kingdom principles. We're doing away with religion, but we're focusing on relationship. When you trust someone, when you're in a relationship with someone, and you know this unequivocally, you gotta know that the relationship is not based on what you can do for them. I'm talking the relationship with our daddy, as I like to call him. You keep your focus on him. You keep your focus on what you've been through. You're still standing, and you look forward. You eagerly look forward to what is to come. There are times when you can look at a situation and think, oh, dear God, are you kidding me? But what I've learned is the more I focus on him and the intent, the experience begins to dissipate, or the feeling of that hopelessness, or, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. It dissipates. And then you take time and you get this thing called a pencil or a pen, and you write your vision. And you're so attached to that vision that if there are ebbs and flows, if there's a valley experience or a mountaintop experience, you stay in the middle. Put your blinders on, keep your focus, and know the relationship that you're in, he wants you to win. And that's how you do it. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Are you going to cry? You better. Do you go out and celebrate what's going wrong in your life? Absolutely not. You focus on all of those good things, all of those times that you thought you wouldn't come through. You keep your focus on that and you keep moving forward. You work your faith. Work your faith. And it won't lie. That vision that it may tarry, but guess what? It will happen. And it'll happen so quickly that I like to tell my own children, be ready. Because if you're trying to get ready, you're too late. Be ready. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for calling, Fran. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Wow. How about that? How do you keep your focus when you're looking at something that is looks like it's just not going to happen? You exercise that muscle called faith, and you'll soon discover that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it will. I was telling you that tomorrow celebrates 1 year of us being on the air. And we've got some wonderful things planned next week, God's willing, as a commemoration, of celebration of sorts. Whatever you do it with excellence. And that is what we're going to do. And that is what you're doing. And you're not quitting. You don't quit on yourself. We've got a gentleman that came into the studio who's making moves, I tell you. This guy, Kevin, and he's with Create the Change. They're having October the 27th, they're having a spectacular fundraiser. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, they're going to be over at Crimsey's Cajun Chicken. Kitchen. I keep saying chicken, but it's kitchen. Crimsey's Cajun Kitchen, which is in North Hollywood. For more details about the fundraiser, you can find find more information at www.create8change.com. That's create8change.com. And 20% of all proceeds will go toward that wonderful organization that I'm really looking forward to being a part of. He's doing some amazing things in the homeless community, and I definitely would like for you to support him. That's createthechange.org or www.create8change.com. Now, check them out. So, we're getting back to this faith thing, right? I have to say thank you. And I'm thanking you because you're taking everything that you know, everything that you've been taught, everything that you're learning, everything that you know to be true, and you're not throwing caution to the wind. We don't do that here. But you're moving in the direction with the knowledge, the courage, and the boldness to get those things done that need to be done. I would say if it were easy, everybody and their mama would be doing it. Whenever there's a God idea, you can go ahead and expect there to be turbulence. But the beautiful thing about turbulence in a God idea is that you're going to overcome it. God will either bring you through it, take you over it, maneuver you under it, but you will get to the other side. And that other side is where those goals, it's where those dreams, it's where everything that you hoped for materializes. Now, when that happens, don't forget, one, to say thank you. Two, don't think you did it all by yourself. And then three, that same faith and intensity that you had to get where you are, continue it. But if it's in an area of serving, become a servant leader and serve the world with your gifts. Joa had it right on the nail on the head when she said, your gifts will make room, but you got to believe that they will, and you got to do it. So I'm expecting you to drop me a line or two. If this show, and I said it in a video earlier, if this show has done anything to help catapult you or propel you to do or inspired you to do something, would you let me know? It's not for my glory, but I want to make certain that you're where you're supposed to be and that you're moving in the direction that you're supposed to be moving in. It is always an honor. It is truly, truly always an honor to come before you. I tell you oftentimes that, boy, you don't know what I had to go through to get here. It doesn't matter what I have to go through to get here. What matters is you. The quicker you get to where you're supposed to be, the more I can get to where I'm supposed to be. So let's get busy and let's move. Let's do life together and let's have fun. Oh, today's show is being brought to you by me and my Nana, a different kind of home care agency. They're located in Atlanta, Georgia, and they're doing some wonderful things. We know that home care is the precipice of people who really want their loved one to stay either in their home or in the community and to have aides, certified nursing assistants, or PCTs, or people that go into the home and make certain that activities of daily living are being adhered to and making certain that the patient is treated with respect. It's what these people stand for, and I can vouch for that. They're doing some amazing things over there, and soon to open an office here in California. And I'm excited about that, and pretty soon we'll have the co-CEO to come on and tell us some things about what she is doing and some of the things that she's gone through and how she used her faith to get her to this position in life. I see that it's time for us to say goodbye. I don't want to go, but I've got to be respectful of your time. I asked for 50 minutes and you're giving it to me graciously. So thank you. Thank you for a year. If Jeannie was here, she'd say, oh boy, here comes the waterworks. But how can you not cry tears of joy when you stepped out on faith and you didn't know if people would show up, but you knew that there was something that you had to get out of you. And I need you to get it out of you too. Go back and dream again. Go back and read that vision one more time. Go back and try that business one more time, or put pen to paper and write again, or sing again. Go back. And for those who are on the other side, congratulations, you made it. Now do more. What I've learned in life is that we cannot get complacent. We're always grateful, ever yet thankful, but we're always exercising our faith and going a little higher so that we can go a little wider. It may take us a little deeper, but we are going to get to the other side. That's my time. I'm your host, Dr. Tanji. I love you. I do. And you do matter. Thanks for hanging out. I'll see you Monday, 5 p.m., where we'll continue the discussion on faith. Until next time, thanks. Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Tunji Show with Dr. Tunji Scott, only on LA Talk Radio.